I hope that very quickly people understand I'm talking about imagination and a critique of racism.
That was local artist Ryan Doyle talking about a recent exhibition that includes a body of work called Spooked. I'm Nancy Fowler.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold. So Doyle grew up in Florissant before it was an incorporated town. He's currently getting his MFA at Washington University. The work he'll be discussing was from a show entitled Boo at the Militzer Gallery in South City. At times, the conversation may seem a little uncomfortable because of the subject matter, but what Doyle's working on is how baseball and racism played out in his childhood and now comes together in his art. But first, we'll have Ryan describe the work.
It's six hats. The first is St. Louis with the St. Louis symbol, the Pittsburgh P, two O's from the Orioles, and the Kansas City Royals hat with the K making the most of that logo, and then the Detroit D at the end. And even with those cities, not only do they spell that word out, I felt like each one has, they certainly have their ghosts and their history, that I feel like adds even another layer to this. I think that the multiple cities help speaks to that it's not just St. Louis and it's just not Ferguson, it's everywhere.
I wondered if you could just talk a little bit about the process of creating, using the hats, these images or structures.
I purchased all the hats. I covered them in silicone, and then once I was able to cover them in silicone, I removed the hat from the mold and then just started painting in layers of these in such a way where if the logo's white, I painted that in first and then filled in the rest with the color of the rest of the hat.
So the hat is pretty much a mold.
Yes.
For what you create.
Yeah. I have this obsession with baseball. I think just to get that out there, like a total obsession. And I always just felt it was going to make its way into the studio somehow. And it made its way through with the hat. There was a moment where I remember seeing the images of Michael Brown, and I really paid close attention to the hat on the ground and thinking about this hat I was wearing and seeing the same hat on the ground in this image. And that really haunted me. And I also started really thinking about, I guess, even the politics of this hat with this symbol of St. Louis on it. And so I just kind of kept that, and I didn't really know what to do with that. And then there was these moments where I think here at St. Louis and in Baltimore, there was some really ugly confrontations between demonstrators and baseball fans, like specifically one in Baltimore where there was people marching and then baseball fans throwing beers and totally inciting a bunch of violence. And I had to kind of deal with my own baseball fandom. I think that feeds into the baseball hat spelling spook. That's a layer of it for sure. And the hat on the ground is totally a layer of that too, because the hats are installed on the floor in relationship to the paintings.
So you grew up going to baseball games?
Going to baseball games, playing baseball. In high school, I sort of fell out of it. I was too cool for that. I was more interested in playing music and these things. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it was me sort of trying to balance out things in the studio or just my intense studies in college with baseball. But now I've sort of found this excuse to... when I'm reading about baseball or I'm in a sporting goods store looking at things, I feel like I'm doing research or I'm buying materials now from the sporting goods store. So I'm able to sort of live out these sort of boyhood fantasies with my work now, which is kind of fun.
Did you also grow up making art?
I did. I always drew. The reality is that a real screw-up in high school, actually. Like, it took me 5 years to get out of there, and I definitely never would have thought I was going to go to college. And I went to Florissant Valley Community College in Ferguson, and they have a great art program. I knew that they did. My dad went there for art when he was young. And, it's a really crazy, amazing place. They send people all over. People graduate and transfer to great, great schools all over the country. And somehow I got in there and found something I liked to do, really sort of out of, I had no other options, really. But then ended up transferring to MICA, and then I'm at WashU.
At this point, Ryan acknowledged that he's a white man addressing sensitive subjects.
I hope that very quickly people understand I'm talking about imagination and a critique of racism, and not that I'm perpetuating anything or hijacking the conversation at all. I think I'm offering up some questions. It's a situation where it's like I have to be sort of very coy, or I prefer to be very coy about it. So I'm trying to.
Why is that?
Well, because I mean it's very racially sensitive work, very racially charged work. So it takes a certain amount of framing and timing and nuance to talk about it. It's work that comes directly out of a lot of the work I was making, where I was responding to a palpable charge or a psychological charge of a place. Whereas I was making work in maybe pre-Ferguson that felt like I could deal with these things. I could touch on like a psychological charge, a racial charge of a place. But it seemed like after Ferguson, it was almost like somebody turned the lights on and I was wearing night vision goggles. And I actually spent months not really knowing how to respond to that. And especially since, I mean, there was relationships at home that were totally changing, I mean, with family members and friends. And I was in Baltimore trying to deal with this because I was in my final year of undergrad.
When you talk about it, you always mention, like, changing relationships with friends and family. So I'm kind of curious, like, what do you mean when you say that?
Like, once everything had been sort of brought to the attention of the entire nation, really, I wasn't able to talk about it as coyly, and I felt like I couldn't hide, because there's definitely different understandings in my work, and I absolutely encourage like plural understandings of my work, whereas maybe I could have a conversation with somebody about me responding to this charge, and I could bring up that part of it certainly was racial tensions, things at home, all these other different things, whereas I think post-Ferguson, I wasn't able to talk about it in that same way. And I felt like I had to be a little more direct and specific about the way I was referencing these things.
When we talked about this project initially, you mentioned like a specific experience that's referring to in your life. Could you tell us what that is again?
I kept coming back to this one point where I felt like the verbal really influenced my experience and my memory of a place. And it was when I learned the word spook. And I was really young. I heard somebody say that was a spook on the back porch.
So Ryan didn't get that he was hearing a racial slur. He thought it was a ghost or boogeyman.
I mean, of course, I was totally freaked out. I had no idea what that meant. I thought it was a monster or something. And it was something that I really started to think about several years ago. And I think the moment when I really started to realize why I was using it or how I was using it was when I heard a small haiku from Claudia Rankine, and she said, because white men can't police their imagination, black men are dying. And I realized, I think I was really talking about imagination or this perception of this place I grew up, where I felt like everybody was spooked and left. And I felt like that really even captured me being very young, totally freaked out about this person outside because they were demonized at this young age for me.
And when you say, you know, you're referring to a very specific period of time, like over two decades ago in the Florissant Ferguson area. So are you talking specifically about white flight?
I mean, I think that's part of it. I think that's certainly something that has affected me deeply. I was fed one narrative, whether it was on the playground, hearing it from other people's parents, or I did that. Things didn't used to be this way. There's a certain reason why things are the way they are now. And then as I was able to grow up, I was able to see that was just completely wrong. There's a certain understanding that this change in demographics is the reason why certain things were happening. My friends would complain about their bike being stolen, and they had a very specific reason for why that was that. And of course, that isn't it. And I felt that like this fear and this misperception of this place is definitely informed just the way I experience everything.
That was local artist Ryan Doyle talking about his recent work called Spooked. And this has been Cut and Paste, produced by Willis Ryder Arnold
and Nancy Fowler. The music you've heard throughout this piece was created by local musician Eric Hall.
You can find Cut and Paste at stlpublicradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts.